Let me just thank the Reverend Dean for the words of welcome. It's a joy, privilege to be back again with you. We have fond memories ourselves of that mission. We remember the final night up in that care room, how God really blessed and brought souls to Christ. And we're rejoicing in that. And it's good to see and renew fellowship with you tonight. Thank you for coming. Some I haven't seen. I think it's 3 years since I was here last. But there's others I see more regularly. They come to our youth rally in Randallstown, and it's good to renew fellowship with them, and we thank you for that. But we pray that tonight God will richly bless you as you join with us this evening. We're turning to the Gospel of Luke. The Lord has laid this passage on my heart. I preached often on Zacchaeus, but as I was thinking of this meeting tonight, the Lord has laid this passage of Scripture upon my heart, and I believe that God has it for somebody here. Yes, all of us here tonight, I believe in that. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and we're reading from the opening verse of this portion. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before, and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and came down, and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood, and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood, and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. We'll end the reading at verse 10, praying that God himself will just bless the reading of his word. Maybe we'll stand together just as we commit our meeting and the preaching of the gospel to Jesus Christ. Lord, we come afresh to thee. We thank thee for the messages and song that our sisters did sing. And we pray tonight, Lord, that you'll bring all of us to the cross. We have come, Lord, this weekend, even tonight, to consider Christ. And, oh God, we realize that when we consider him, Lord, he changes us. And, oh God, we pray that this meeting will be a life-changing meeting. We're never the same when we consider Jesus Christ. And we pray that tonight, Lord, saint and sinner tonight, will consider the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Cover us now with the blood, we pray. May the Spirit of God fall upon this meeting, Lord. Search out every heart, we pray. Bring us all to the cross, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We want to consider this little man Zacchaeus tonight. We're all familiar with the story. It's one of those stories that we learn in Sunday school. The little man that climbed up the sycamore tree to see the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very interesting in chapter 19, if you look at verse 1, it says Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. That's interesting. In this anniversary of revival, when the theme of our denomination is Consider Christ on this 150th anniversary of the revival of 1859. It's interesting when you study that revival that there were places that Jesus passed through. Not every town in Ulster knew revival. I know the Lord swept into His kingdom over 100,000 souls. But there were towns, there were villages, there were hamlets, just like Jericho here, that Jesus passed through. And He could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. I was just reading the history of this town. And this town was one of the towns in County Down that first received the blessing of revival. In the middle of January 1859, the early rains of revival fell on Crossgar. A young man was greatly troubled. In fact, he was overcome so great with physical weakness that they wondered what was wrong with him. And the Presbyterian minister, the Reverend J.G. Thompson of that day, he went and visited the young man. And he discovered that the young man's problem with his physical weakness was his soul. He was under great conviction. Because the previous Sunday evening, the Reverend Thompson had been preaching from Judges chapter 3, verse 20. And that text was, "I have a message from God unto thee." And that was like a barbed arrow in that young man's heart, and he couldn't forget about the message. And it wore and bore heavily upon his shoulders so much that he became physically exhausted. And the minister went to visit him, and he realized the great problem of the young man was this, that he was under conviction. And the great trouble of his soul was affecting his physical frame. And that minister had the joy of pointing that young man to Jesus Christ, and the burden lifted. And he was gloriously and wondrously saved. And that began a great work in Crossgar in 1859. I pray that tonight God will do a work even in this meeting. And you might be a young person outside of Christ, but I pray that Jesus Christ will not pass by you tonight. Of course, Crossgar knew the blessing of God, but there were towns and villages in the county of Down that knew not the blessing of God. It seemed to be that Jesus passed them by. If you ever study the history of families throughout this province of ours, and maybe if you look at families in this area, I'm not familiar with families in Crossgar, but you can look at families, and you know what seems as if Jesus has passed them by. Generation after generation of that family know nothing but cursing, and it seems damnation. There's no gospel, no interest in Jesus Christ, no salvation. And yet you look at other families. I'm not saying that Christianity runs in the blood, but you look at some families and you look at parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, and you can see the stream of the gospel. Grandfather saved, great-grandfather saved, sons and daughters saved, and it seems to be that Jesus has stopped at these families. And yet there's other families. And all you see is sin and drunkenness and gambling and cursing and swearing. And it seems Jesus Christ has passed by. I thank God that in 1859 God didn't pass by Ulster. My great fear is that it passed by in 2009. I'm sure some of you get every home crusade, the little leaflet that they send out once a month, where they send out millions and millions of gospel leaflets and literatures and the Gospel of John and other portions of scriptures.
And you read about people in India, and you read of people about in South America, and they're hungry, and they're queuing up. I was reading about one of those queues that they had in India. It was 1.5 miles long, just to get a scripture portion, just to get a little gospel tract, and there's a hunger out in those places. And in South Korea, there's mighty movings of God's Spirit, and even in China, but yet in Austria. And you know, even amongst Christians, you could hardly kick them out to a gospel meeting. My fear is that God would pass us by. It says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Jericho is a beautiful city. In fact, in the Old Testament, it's called the City of the Palm Trees. If you ever get a chance of going to Israel, and maybe some of you have had a chance, and when you travel from Jerusalem, it's all the way down to Jericho. Some of you have been to Israel here. And you can remember traveling down, even on a bus, your ears go pop like as if you were in an aircraft. So low is Jericho. It's almost at the lowest point on this earth, very near the Dead Sea. And when you're going down, you can see those lovely palm trees that surround the city of Jericho. It's a beautiful, beautiful sight. Yet Jericho is a wicked city. Even today, it's the city of the Palestinian. And if you're going down to Jericho today, if you were going on a tour today, if you're going with Jewish guides, you couldn't get into Jericho. Because it's occupied by the Palestinians. And it's a wicked city. And yet the interesting thing is that Jesus saved a man in Jericho. He saved this little man called Zacchaeus. This little man who came from this place that was the city of the curse, yet the Lord saved him. The wicked sinner, this man by place and by practice, was a notorious man. He was chief amongst the publicans. And yet the Lord saved him. Think of the multitudes that gathered that day just to see Jesus. It was noised that Jesus was passing by that way, and the crowds came out from Jericho. Yet out of all that multitude that gathered that day, this little man, this little notorious sinner, this man who was a publican, doesn't mean he was a pub owner, but it meant he was a tax collector. And in any part of the world, we don't really like tax collectors, do we? And this is the wee man that got saved. This is the wee man that considered Christ. And you know, when you consider Christ, it changes you. You're never the same. You're never, never, never the same. Jesus Christ changes you. You see, I believe in the old-fashioned way. I believe in the scriptural way. Hey, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. It changes you. It changes this wee man. And the gospel still changes today. Hallelujah. There's power in the blood. There's forgiveness with Jesus Christ tonight. And you might think to yourself, well, could the Lord save me? This is the glorious message of the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ can save the whosoever. He came to seek and to save. In Luke's gospel, chapter 19, verse 10, he came to seek and to save that which was lost, and he's come to save you tonight. This is why you're having this weekend, that you might consider Christ. And I thank God he can save you. There's nobody too wicked for the Lord. You know, there's some people who think themselves too good. There's people think themselves too good.
That's only free Presbyterians, they say, that preach you need to be born again. Oh, I go to church every Sunday. I read my Bible. I don't do anybody any harm, but I'm not born again. I'll tell you something, it's not a free Presbyterian thing. It's a scriptural thing. It's a godly thing. It's the right way to be saved. That's what God says. And you might be in this meeting tonight. And you might be a good person. You might be a church-going person. You might be catechized. You might be sitting at the communion table. You might even be a confirmed person. I'm just coming from hospital to this meeting. And I was visiting a wee man. He's got converted many years. And he often likes to tell me he was a confirmed man. And then they would turn around and say to me, I was a confirmed liar, he says. I was never born again. I was confirmed in the church, but I was never born again. And he would often say to me, you know, my name was on the communion roll, but he would say to me, it might as well be on a sausage roll. I'm asking you tonight, are you born again? There's people who say to me, well, I'm not born again, but I'm all right. I'm going to heaven. You know, an interesting thing, you know, that God is saving big sinners. There's a fellow who works with Chris Killen. Chris Killen, of course, maybe you're familiar with him, maybe you're not. Chris Killen works with the drug addicts down in Ballymena and other places as well. And there's a fellow who works with him, a big fellow called Ryan. He comes from the notorious Harryville area of Ballymena. When I first met Ryan, he was called Frankie. He didn't get a change name. He got converted. But that was his name because that was his nickname in the Harryville area of Ballymena because he was named after Frankenstein, the monster. He was a huge giant of a fella. He stood about 6'4", still stands that height today. And he was built like a tank. But I remember it was a Saturday night just a few years ago and I got a phone call. Preachers don't like to get phone calls on a late Saturday night because they're trying to get ready for Sunday morning. But I got this phone call. Could you come down to Harryville? Could you come down to Ballymena? I think it must have been near midnight on a Saturday night. So I got into the car, drove down to Ballymena. I'm going to knock the door. The fellow who had phoned me up, I knew him well. He'd come to our church. He says to me, will you come upstairs? I thought to myself, 12 o'clock on a Saturday night, come upstairs. That's not exactly the place you want to go. I wouldn't mind going up to my own bedroom, but not to somebody else's room. And he says, I want you to come up here. There's a big fella. He said, you know, I want you to come and speak to him. When I went up this big fella, he's called Frankie. Yes, Ryan now. But when I went up, he was sitting on the bed. And he was drunk out of his mind. And the smell and the stench of drink filled that little bedroom. And I began to speak to him. And I said, Frankie, that's how I knew him then. I said, do you want to get saved? And I couldn't really fully understand him because there was a slur in his speech. But eventually I got it out of him that he would like to get saved. And he was thinking about coming to Christ. But he was drunk out of his mind. And I opened the scriptures and I began to plead with him. And it seemed to be there was a tug of war taking place. One moment he seemed to be coming towards Christ. The next way, time he seemed to be coming away from Christ. And we were in there for hours that night. It was getting on to Sunday morning. I had an early morning prayer meeting at 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. And I was thinking also, I'll not be at that early morning prayer meeting. And it seemed to be we were struggling and battling with this big fella. There was a battle over his soul. And the powers of the devil were working in his heart. But the fella that had called me up, he got down, prostrate on his face, down in the bedroom. And he began to cry to God that God would save this big man. While he was praying, I was pleading, I was opening the scriptures. And eventually the big fella said to me, I would like to get saved. I said, would you come to Christ just as you are? Are you going to repent of your sins? Are you going to give up your drink? He says, I'll give up my drink. He says, you know something? He says, I had £200 in my pocket when I began Saturday morning. You know how much I've left? I've left £50. I've spent £150 on drink. He says, at one point when I was standing in the bar in Harleyville, he says, this fella come up to me. And this fella was going to kill, this big fella Ryan was so notorious in Ballymena that he was almost going to kill people. But he said, a fella come up into me in the pub, he says, just before I came here. And he says, he looked at me the wrong way and I picked up the glass and I smashed it over the bar and I was about to put it into his face. He says, but something held me back. I didn't know all this. But I was pleading with him. And eventually he got down on his knees and he started crying like a baby. And he said, Mr. Millen, lead me to Christ. And I led him to Christ. It was about 6 o'clock on Sunday morning. I remember leaving that home. And the devil gave me a hard time because the devil said he's not saved at all. That's just the drink speaking. He only did that to get rid of you. But when I went home, went to the prayer meeting at 7 o'clock, and you see when I came to the morning service, you know who was at the morning service? Big Frankie. Big Frankie came to the evening service. He brought his wife with him. She got saved as well. And Big Ryan followed the Lord. You know, that's what the Lord does. He changes lives. And that's what happened this wee man from Jericho. And it can change your life as well in this mission and in this meeting. I want us just to look at him tonight, just briefly. I want us to look at his concern. Yes, we have noted the place that he came from. And I want you to note in verse 3 of chapter 19 of the Gospel of Luke, and he sought to see Jesus. Who he was and could not for the press because he was little of stature. That's interesting. It's good to see people concerned about Jesus Christ. Here's this wee man. And what makes it so amazing is this. Look at chapter 19 verse 2. It says, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Surely this rich fellow wouldn't be wanting Jesus Christ. What am I saying tonight? Riches don't bring happiness. Last weekend, £90 million was won on the Euro lottery. A syndicate of BT workers won half of that £90 million, £45 million. And a married couple from Gwent in Wales won the other £45 million. It was the biggest lottery, Euro lottery win in the United Kingdom. Previous to that, the biggest lottery win was won by Angela Kelly from Scotland, who won £35.4 million. The largest Euro million lottery winner was a 25-year-old Spanish girl who won £110 million on the Euro lottery. I was reading the reports about how when these people won the 91, between them, £91 million, how they were screaming and shouting for joy. It meant happiness for them. At least they think it. But there was analysis done of 8,000 people who scooped big on the British lottery between 19 and 94 and 2005. And it was found that most of them, it brought unhappiness to them. They had more partying, they had more drinking, they had more smoking, but there was no happiness. And we're all thinking, Christians were even thinking, you know, I would like to have won the £45 million. Let me tell you something. This wee man was rich. but he wasn't happy. Can I tell you something? We all need a pound in our pocket, don't we? If we go down to the shop, you know, and we need to buy 2 litres of milk, we need a pound in our pocket, don't we? But the philosophy of this age is this, you know. The more you have of the world's goods, and the more you have of the riches of this world, the happier you will be. Let me tell you something. Some of that philosophy is getting through to Christians. But the Lord said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Riches don't bring happiness. Don't be deceived for it. Let me tell you something, you in this mission, if you're not saved tonight. You see, when God created you, he created you for himself. There's a hole in your heart. There's a void in your soul that all the things of this world cannot fill. Only Jesus Christ can fill that. And only Jesus Christ can give you true happiness. I was saved as a young fella, and I'm glad I was. I could take you to the very place in Coleraine where I was saved and I was born again and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you something. I tried the broken cisterns, but all the waters failed. Even as I stooped to drink, they mocked me as I wailed. Ah, but none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and everlasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Oh, the happy day when I saw Christ. Have you ever considered Christ? I'm not asking you. And this is why your minister and the elders have convened this weekend. It isn't that you consider CrossGar Free Presbyterian Church. No! It's that you might consider Christ. And I'll tell you, he brings happiness. This wee man was rich. And yet, it didn't bring happiness. He's concerned to see Jesus Christ. The sad thing is this. There's people in Ulster tonight not a bit concerned. They wouldn't cross the street. Wouldn't cross the village, cross God, to come and hear about Jesus Christ. Wouldn't do that. They're not concerned any longer. He was concerned to see Jesus who he was, but I want you to note, he could not. He couldn't see Christ. He wanted to see him, but he couldn't see him. Why could he not see him? Well, there was one thing there, it says, and for the press. You know what that means? There's a crowd of others he couldn't see for the crowd. Is that why you're not saved? Is that why you're not in Christ tonight? Because of the crowd? If I got saved in Cross Garfree Presbyterian Church, you know, I have a crowd of buddies down the road there. School friends, college friends, mates that I have, people that I run around with. You know something? If I got saved, they will laugh at me. I'll tell you, they will laugh at you. And they'll laugh you into hell, but they'll never laugh you out again. Maybe you're not a free Presbyterian. You get saved. What about the crowd that you run around with? What about your church going friends? They're not saved. Mother, you're not saved. Father, you're not saved. You're not saved in this mission. Maybe it's a wife that keeps you back. Maybe it's a husband that keeps you back. This wee man couldn't see Jesus for the crowd. And it says there also something else, verse 3. He could not see Jesus, could not see Christ because he was of little stature, because of his condition. He couldn't see it. Physical. He was a wee small man. Couldn't see above the crowd. I'm sure he tried to get up and down to see the Jesus, but he couldn't. He was a wee small man. Is the reason why you're not seeing this? You can't see it. You know, I was brought up a Presbyterian. Brought up to go through the Sunday school. My mother sent me out every Sunday. You see, in my day, Mama didn't turn around and say to me, "Do you want to go, son?" You're going. See, now today, parents say to children, do you want to go? Children said, "No, that's all right, son, you stay at home." "Do you want to go to the Youth Fellowship? You go to the Youth Fellowship." See, today, "You want to go to the Youth Fellowship?" "No, I don't want to go to the Youth Fellowship." "Well, that's all right, you don't need to go." In my day, you never got a choice. You had to go. And I was sent out to the Sunday school, and I learned the shorter catechism. And I learned that lovely little catechism, the first question: what is the chief end of man? That's a wonderful truth, that. What's the chief purpose in your life? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And I learned all that. And I was admitted into the communion class. In those days, you used to have communion classes before you were permitted to sit at the communion table. You were given a little token after you advanced through the communion class. And I had to learn those catechisms and certain portions of the scripture. And I sat before the minister and I was able to answer all those things. But I wasn't saved. I used to hear these street preachers, these evangelists coming to the door, knocking the door and giving a wee tract and saying, "You know, you need to be saved." I used to think to myself, "I've never done anybody any harm. I haven't gone out and shot somebody through the head. I haven't been an angel." And then I sat down and I thought about it. And I considered what these people were saying to me. And I began to examine the scriptures of truth. And I saw for myself that except a person be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you know there's nothing blinds you like sin? Sin puts your eyes out. You cannot see the need to get saved. The Russian astronaut, Gerham Titoy, he went through and up into outer space. And after he came back, people asked him some questions. And he said, "You know, when I was out on my travels in space, I could see no God. I could see no heaven." Says, "I looked and I didn't see him. I saw no God or angels." You know why Gerham Titoy didn't see God or angels? Because he's blind, spiritually speaking. And you know, if you're not saved, that's exactly your condition tonight. And you know, when you get saved, Christ opens your eyes. And I pray that the Holy Spirit tonight will apply the eye salve of His anointment and touch your eyes tonight, and you might behold the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. I'll tell you something, it's the greatest sight you ever saw when you see Christ. I can remember when I saw the Savior, not with a physical eye, but with the eye of faith, I saw Christ. Can I tell you something? He's altogether lovely. The wounds that He bore were born for me. Have you ever gazed upon Jesus Christ and considered the sacrifice of the Son of God wounded for me? Wounded for me there on the cross. He was wounded for me. He was wounded for you. Bearing shame and scoffing rid, in my place condemned He stood, sealing my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. I want you to note something in verse 5. Yes, we have seen this condition of this wee man, the concern of this wee man. I want you to note the call to this wee man. Verse 5, "And when Jesus came to the place, He looked up and saw him." Yet the wee man couldn't see Christ, but it says this, the Lord Jesus Christ, He looked and He saw Him, and the Lord sees you tonight. He sees you up on the gallery. He sees you down on the ground floor. He sees right into your heart tonight. He knows where you stand tonight. He knows whether you're saved or not tonight. Are you saved? The Lord sees you tonight. And I want you to know what happens. In verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste. He calls to Zacchaeus. He calls him personally. Have you ever heard the call to salvation? One of the most important calls you'll ever hear. It's an individual call tonight. Can I say something? It's an inescapable call. You'll do something. You'll either say yes, Christ, or you'll go out of this meeting and you'll reject the Savior. And I want you to note here, it says make haste. Make haste. It's a hastening call. We just finished a gospel mission in our own church. I've often said, you know, that after gospel missions and special meetings, you know, that when the Lord comes and passes by, leaves that place, God comes in judgment. You'll discover that the angel of death comes after a mission. He that being often reproved hardeneth his heart, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. There was a wee man in that mission, 55 years old. He was out on a Sunday. His funeral was today. He died very tragically. He went to an Orange Hall in Antrim, just outside Antrim. He went into the Orange Hall and they put a rope up. And he hung himself. If death were to come to you, Saturday week passed, that wee girl that was 10, Clarice, down in Castledurr, she was at a birthday party. 10 years old at a birthday party. Having a wonderful time, blowing up balloons. And she sucks one of the balloons down into her throat. The doctor was just up the road a wee bit and he came down. And he rushed down to help the wee girl, but it was too late. 10 years old. 6 months ago, three young men left our youth rally in Randallstown. Left our youth rally to go to Oma. And they'd got through Cookstown and they were heading out towards Oma and that road across the mountain. As they were heading towards Oma, the car swerved and crashed into another car, flipped over. And the young passenger in that car, 19 years old, leaving a church meeting. Within half an hour of leaving a church meeting, that young man was cut out into God's eternity. Had planned on Saturday night with his father. He was into classical cars, to an old Capri. Had talked to his daddy Saturday night, we'll talk about it, son, on Monday. Never got talking to his daddy about the car again. You know, there's an urgency tonight. I don't know where you stand. Are you saved? Make haste. Come down. That's what it says. Here's the call. Make haste. Come down. Come down. You know. It's a humbling thing to come to Christ. Zacchaeus, come down!
He was stuck up the tree. I don't know why you're stuck up tonight. 1859. The mission really began, or the revival really began through a woman called Mrs. Colville. Mrs. Colville was a Baptist mission from England, come over to Ballymena. And she was knocking the doors. She was knocking the doors, speaking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking to some woman about getting saved. And as she was speaking to them, her words were overheard by James McQuilton. He was one of the four men. He was stuck up the tree of Calvinism. I'm a Calvinist. Just in case you think I'm against Calvinism. I'm a Calvinist. And he thought to himself, he'll go to this woman and he'll say to her, he asked her, he says to her, you know, are you a Calvinist or not? Are you a Calvinist or not? When she heard these words, when they heard these words about Jesus Christ, here's what she said. She was an astute woman. She said, I would wish to be no more a Calvinist than the Lord and his disciples. I thought that was a good answer. I wish to be no more a Calvinist than the Lord and his disciples. But what she said, you know, stuck in his heart. And you know, when he left that meeting with that Mrs. Colville, Jesus Christ was working his life, and James McQuilkin eventually came to Christ. Where are you tonight? Stuck up the tree of self-righteousness. You need to come down. It's a humbling thing, you know. It's a humbling thing to bow the knee and accept that you're a sinner. But you need to come down. See, when this man came down, you know what the Lord says to him? Make haste and come down. And he came down. And it says there, Zacchaeus stood and said unto him, Lord, behold, verse 8, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day of salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, he came down, he came to Jesus Christ. Will you come down tonight? Will you bow the knee? Will you accept Christ as your Savior? Will you humbly admit that you're a sinner? In the sight of a holy God, will you repent of your sin and by simple faith receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? And He'll save you! He'll come into your heart, He'll come into your home, and He'll make you a new person in Christ Jesus tonight. And you need to come down. You know, this was the last time Jesus Christ was at Jericho. From Jericho, He was going to Jerusalem. He was going to the cross. We'll never have another meeting like this. Never. A few years ago, time was gone. We had a little gospel mission not far from our church. It was in fact in Glebonge Hall, very near Ahoka. This big fella, Ryan Frank, that I told you about, had a great burden for souls. And there was a fellow that he had went to during the first week and asked him to come and gone back to him and went back to him and still he wouldn't come. Eventually he got out of the fellow that he would come on the Monday night of the second week of the mission in the Glebonge Hall. Big fellow went round for him and his wife. When they went to the door, the fellow said, I'm not coming tonight. He says, I'll come tomorrow night, Tuesday night. Big Ryan was disappointed. He had all hopes that they would come. But he says, I'll come for you tomorrow night. And the mission went ahead on Monday night. It was a great mission. Preaching was in the power of the Holy Spirit. That fellow didn't come to that mission on Monday night. Instead, he went out to a place just outside of Ballymena called Murfields. He went out to a public house out there. Come out of the public house about 11 o'clock, stepped out onto the road. Monday night when he should have been at the mission, he stepped out onto the road and there a car came down and hit him and killed him. Killed him immediately.
he never got to the mission.
You say, I'll come to Christ sometime, not tonight. That man that was on our mission on a Sunday night, that was his final call. Will you make haste? Will you come to Christ? Will you be saved? Let's bow together.